it's the housing crisis. Sholem was the first magistrate of that housing court. He was reappointed by Mayor Flaherty, and resigned after he had served in that capacity for 4 years. In the meantime, he became one of the recognized spoken all over the country, has written and published in the field of housing. That's an avocation of his. It's not a professional involvement. He's also been extremely active in many facets of community activity, as I indicated before. He is, I think, yeah, I believe he is at the present time the president of the Health and Welfare Association. He was president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Jewish Committee. Today chairs one of the most important national commissions of the American Jewish Committee, the Domestic Affairs Commission. He is the national chairman of that commission, the American Jewish Committee, and has many, many other organizational involvements, both in the general and in the Jewish community. Debbie.
But I want to give equal time to Debbie.
Yes.
Debbie started her college career at Bennington. All parties mutually decided that Bennington was not the right place for her by the time she had completed her sophomore year, and she took her undergraduate degree at Pitt. She has had three separate careers. She started as a bacteriologist and worked for several years as a bacteriologist in Pittsburgh. She was married to a young man who went to veterinary school at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. She decided she wanted to switch careers, so she became a computer programmer and worked for a couple of years as a computer programmer in Philadelphia. Moved to Atlanta, where she did not work. She was in Atlanta a relatively short time. Her husband, she was in Atlanta before she went to Philadelphia. I'm sorry. Her husband was in the public health service and was stationed in Atlanta. While in Atlanta, she just added, she went to school, not intending to get a graduate degree, then went to Philadelphia, became a computer programmer. While in Philadelphia, she and her husband separated. She came back to Pittsburgh, and already in her very early 30s, she and my daughter-in-law, Sholem's wife, decided at the same time that they would go to law school, and they both went to Pitt Law School, were graduated, and both are now practicing lawyers. Estelle, Sholem's wife, interestingly enough, in the law firm that Sholem left, which she didn't join until after Sholem had left it. Debbie was for a period of time a lawyer for the county health department. The program under which she was employed was federally funded. When federal funding was cut off, she was unemployed for a number of months, still is technically today. She has just accepted a new position with the Neighborhood Legal Services.
Does she have a title?
I don't know about her title. Okay. Yeah, she is in, their service are divided into a number of fields. She is in a specific field. I'm not sure what it is. She has no children. Sholem and Estelle, they blessed us with two lovely grandchildren. Their daughter, Laura, is 11, and their son, Joseph, is 8 years old. Cover my family?
You covered your family pretty well.
What do you want to know?
It asks about health and medical care and your health in your early childhood and youth.
Well, I had some health problems when I was about 8 years old, more or less. It was discovered that I was suffering from a heart-related disease called chorea, C-H-O-R-E-A, which is a relative of rheumatic fever. I don't know if Pittsburgh ever had it, they had a network, three or four schools scattered in different neighborhoods called Fresh Air Schools. The public school system had four fresh air schools where children with certain kinds of problems would be. We never, even in the winter time, I don't know what the theory was, our windows were wide open. We sat at our desks in sleeping bags and so forth. I don't know. I don't know what the medical theory was.
Well, it was fresh air for the lungs.
But it was called fresh air. I didn't have a lung.
No.
And you know, we had to take a nap. You know, every afternoon after lunch, there were cots and we took naps and so forth. This was a condition which is common, not too uncommon in childhood, in which usually disappears by the time you get into your teen years, and very luckily, it totally disappeared by the time I reached my... As a matter of fact, I was back in public school. Well, I went to junior... I left the Fresh Air School.
That was an elementary school.
Yeah, I left the Fresh Air School when I went into junior high, which in Detroit was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. They had a three-tier system of elementary... separate schools for elementary, junior high, and high school. And I was in I was not really quite finished with it. I was still under medical supervision when I went into 7th grade. But by the time I got into high school in the 10th grade, I was totally no longer even under medical supervision. Very active in sports and things of that kind. So I have never had any. Other than that, I have enjoyed excellent health all of my life. A couple of incidents, and I had an appendectomy. I had a gallbladder removed, but no, nothing other than that.
Did this rheumatic fever, chorea, restrict any of your activities when you were a youngster then? Would you have been a sportsman?
Really not. No, we played ball even in Fresh Air School. And I used to, I don't know when I found time to do it, but somehow or other, I guess I did it at the expense of eating supper sometimes, but I used to play ball, baseball in season, and soccer was a big game in Detroit, bigger than here. Actually played in the elementary schools and the junior high schools. Soccer was one of the school sports, and football in the season, and it was very, very active. I don't know how I did it, considering the afternoon schooling I was taking, but I found the time. I made the time to do it. And physically, that's as much as I can tell you about this.
I assume this Jewish cultural interest was voluntary on your part.
Let's say that I think it was really the total involvement in the home that it just was a way of life. I would think that there must have been times when I must have protested about the fantastic schedule I was required to maintain at school, and that my parents would not let me abandon it, but became voluntary. I think there was a certain amount of parental discipline involved in the beginning.
You had some direction.
Right. As I believe it should be. When I came to Pittsburgh, to stay on that theme for a moment, I became so totally immersed in my business activity, worked very, very long and hard hours. And there was a period of years when, for all practical purposes, I had no outside interests, cultural or otherwise. I just didn't have time. Where I had been a very heavy reader all my life, even my reading dwindled down to an occasional book next to nothing. I did no reading in Yiddish for a period of years after I got here. That kind of became a dormant thing. I can't really explain how and when I came to the conclusion that I was missing something which had been important, was still important to me, but in the background, and resumed a pattern of reading and so forth, general and Yiddish. I did not become involved in anything but my business or community activity until rather late in life, as these things go. It was really the early, middle 60s, by which time I was already into my 50s, my very late 40s and early 50s, before I started to assume extracurricular in terms of my business being my primary requirement into community.
And your business didn't suffer as a result.
No, I still, until this day, maintain a very heavy involvement and responsibility in my business, although, in all honesty, not nearly as time-consuming as it was in the earlier years. I couldn't find time for my rather substantial over-involvement in, I have to call it, in community affairs of various kinds.
We want to know about all the community affairs.
Start. Sure. And really, those that period of years until I started to do this, I can't tell you very much other than I was devoting myself very, very hard to work and to building my business. When I started to feel the need to do things beyond what I was doing in my business, the first part of it was really personal. I resumed my reading, I began to get the Yiddish press, I began to buy books in general, Yiddish and non-English and so forth. And I had always felt, still feel today, that good Jewish education for our children and young people is the most important single ingredient in their retaining their Jewish identity and living their life as Jews. So my primary interest in the Jewish community has always been Jewish education. I went on my very first public activity in that field. I went on the board of the Hebrew Institute. I subsequently became an officer and vice president of the Hebrew Institute. some 7 or 8 years ago, maybe it was 9 years ago, I don't remember exactly, the Federation. Well, let me take it chronologically. I'm taking it out of chronological sequence. In 1967, as a result of the 1967 Six-Day War, although I had been a contributor to the United Jewish Federation for many, many years, and I've been a contributor to many other Jewish organizations, the emergency campaign that followed immediately after the June 1967 war, brought me close to the Federation and to the Federation people. I became active in that emergency campaign and became active in the Federation, and I have been, I've had a number of assignments in the United Jewish Federation. Since 1968 or 69, a member of their Social Planning and Budgeting Committee. I have served one full term of office as a vice president, then a full term of office as treasurer, and am currently in the second year of a three, well, no, it's really only, you're really only elected for 1 year at a time. I'm now in my second year of a second round as a vice president. There is a limit of 3 years that you serve, and hopefully, perhaps I will be asked to serve a third year as vice president of the Federation. I am at the present time chairing a very important special committee that was organized by the Federation about a year and a half ago, a committee to make a very broad study of the whole, it's a committee on Jewish education, which is studying the whole spectrum of Jewish education in the greater Pittsburgh area, not only those schools which get Federation support. There are five schools which get some degree of Federation support, but also the synagogue schools and the temple schools and the involved broad spectrum of people who are involved in all of the aspects of Jewish education in this community process. Through my activity in the Federation, I have moved into other activity on the national scene. The Federation, as you know, the United Jewish Federation campaign Greater Pittsburgh is part of the United Jewish Appeal campaign nationally, and I went on the national campaign cabinet of the UJA, and then onto the national executive committee of the UJA, on which I serve at the present time, and have been involved in the UJA campaign in, to a limited degree in areas other than. My primary campaign responsibility is with the Federation, but I do get assignments as a member of the UJA Executive Committee in other areas, occasionally from time to time. I don't have too much time that I can give them in that respect. Again, because of my involvement in the Federation, I started a number of years ago to attend the quarterly meetings and the General Assembly of the Council of Jewish Federations and Welfare Funds, I'll call them CJF from here on. And a number of years ago, I was elected to the Board of Directors of the CJF. I am now in my second term of office. No longer be eligible for real. I don't know if I have another year or whether this will be my last year. I don't remember. We used to have 3-year terms. May have changed to 2-year terms, and that may be expiring this year or at best next year. At the CJF, I have been involved in a number of activities. I served on and was vice chairman of their committee community planning for Jewish education. Let me interpose something because I'll get back to CJF. Some 7 years ago, the Jewish Agency, which is the body which is the eventual recipient of all of the funds that World Jewry raises on behalf of Israel. That part of our local campaign which goes to the UJA gets to, some of that goes to the Joint Distribution Committee, JDC. A small amount goes to New York Association for New Americans, which has a responsibility for absorbing immigrants in New York City, which always, even today, with the very large immigration from the Soviet Union, approximately half, or perhaps a little bit more than half, of all the Soviet immigrants are absorbed in New York City. But the vast bulk of the monies that the UJA gets go to the United Israel Appeal, which is only a pipeline for transmitting the money and then supervising and monitoring the expenditure of that money by the Jewish agency in Israel, which uses the money for a host of social welfare and educational purposes. Some 7 years ago, the Jewish agency, which had been an organ or a body of the World Zionist Organization, was reconstituted. In addition to its existing World Zionist Organization component, half of its membership at all levels, the major body, the assembly of the Jewish agency, the board of governors, and the executive committee, are all divided equally between representatives of the World Zionist Organization and representatives of the Jewish communities throughout the world. From the very first assembly of the Jewish agency, I was given the privilege of being Pittsburgh's representative and have, through six assemblies of the Jewish agency, and I've just been again appointed to represent Pittsburgh next June in the Jewish agency. So I have served on the assembly of the Jewish agency, and I have the privilege of being asked to serve the budget committee of the Jewish agency. It is a committee of its board of governors, of which I am not a member. Don Robinson of Pittsburgh happens to be a member of the board of governors of the Jewish agency. But I was asked to serve as one of three or four community representatives on that budget committee. I have been a member of the budget committee of the Jewish agency for the past 3 years.
Let me ask a question about the Jewish agency. It is not strictly a disbursement fund, or it is strictly a disbursement
fund? It is an operating agency. All of the absorptions, virtually all of the absorption centers in Israel for new immigrants are operated by the Jewish agency. The Jewish agency disperses funds to other agencies which it does not operate. For instance, a major item in the Jewish agency budget is an allocation to the higher education, to the universities of Israel, which obviously the Jewish agency doesn't operate. The absorption centers are operated by the Jewish agency. They have an agricultural settlement department. The Jewish agency, a significant item in their budget, is providing support to new kibbutzim and new moshavim, which I don't know if you want me to explain to you.
Why don't you do it briefly?
Yeah, there are Israeli agriculture, which is an important component of its economy, is very largely done by two different kinds of cooperative movements, which Israel is very, very proud. It's unique. The kibbutzim are really the pride of Israel. It was really the kibbutzim that were the background on which the Jewish presence in Palestine grew. Most of the leaders of Israel came out of the kibbutzim. Golda Meir, Ben Gurion, most of the early leaders of Palestine and then Israel came from the kibbutzim. That is a totally cooperative movement. Individuals own nothing. The kibbutz owns the land, owns the houses. They don't even get salaries. They get their spending money. It is a pure communist movement with a small c, not with a capital C, in terms of a communal way of life. Interestingly, right to this day, the cream of the Israeli army, the paratroopers, the submarine corps, where those units in the Israeli army, which require the greatest level of skill and dedication, are totally disproportionately filled with young men and women, as you know, in Israel, from the kibbutzim. The kibbutzim today represent only about, don't quote me on this because I'm not sure, but it illustrates the point. They represent perhaps 5 or 6% of the total Israel population. They represent perhaps 25 or 30 or 40% of those units in the Israel Defense Forces. And not because of favoritism, because they're the best. The second component of Israeli agriculture are the Moshavim. And they are more, the best way to compare them are to condominiums. The member of the Moshav owns his own home, owns his own little plot, his own piece of his own plot of land, works his own farm. They do their marketing cooperatively and their distribution cooperatively. And they provide many of the social and recreational services on a cooperative, as a condominium does. The swimming pool is maintained on a cooperative basis. But the Jewish Agency, most of the kibbutzim, and many of the Moshavim, I would have to say most of the Moshavim, are not self-sufficient from day one. And they operate at deficits. And the Jewish Agency has maintained a program of subsidizing kibbutzim and Moshavim, but in a very, very constructive and economically sound basis. In other words, they aim and have succeeded at virtually every one of these hundreds and hundreds of enterprises becoming self-sufficient over a period of years and then going it on their own. Jim.